You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 20 years ago this week, Germany's Daimler-Benz AG acquired Chrysler. The Germans described it as a merger of equals. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes looks back at that unhappy corporate marriage. Daniel, you use words like miserable and bad dream. Why?
These guys never got along from the jump. They didn't like each other. They foisted this idea on Detroit primarily and American shareholders that this was a so-called merger of equals, and it was no such thing. It was an acquisition, and it took an interview with the Financial Times about 2 years after the deal was closed, in which then-CEO Jürgen Schremp basically said, I did what I wanted to do, but I had to do it in a roundabout way, i.e. that Chrysler would become a unit of what was then Daimler-Benz. And he and his communications people had foisted this big lie on the world about what the deal was. Now, people who knew the industry knew exactly what it was, that it was an acquisition, and that they were trying to bolt this company together. And frankly, if he'd had his way, the stock symbol wouldn't have been DCX, it would have been DCH. Like my own initials, actually.
Yes.
And the H was going to be Honda. That was the vision. Obviously, never happened. But that was the vision, was having a North American, a European, and an Asian automaker under the rubric of a powerhouse German company.
And throughout this, quote, merger of equals that was actually a takeover, what came of it?
Nothing. I mean, I think ultimately you could argue that the greatest legacy of that whole tie-up was the bankruptcy of Chrysler. Within less than 2 years after the Germans unloaded it on Cerberus Capital Management, which is a private equity firm out of New York, the company was in bankruptcy.
Tell us why the Daimler acquisition of Chrysler failed, in your words, because it was genetically incompatible.
Well, you know, Mercedes is an exceedingly proud brand, and you know, you may feel that just being an average American living and working in your communities and seeing the people who drive Mercedes, but you ain't seen nothing until you go to Stuttgart and you see how integral that is to its entire identity. And there was no way, I think, fundamentally, that German engineers who had spent their entire careers honing and crafting what Mercedes was, there was no way that they were going to either A, share components with Chrysler brands, or B, have some of their technology underpin some of those Chrysler brands. There was a plan at one time to take last generation transmission technology and put it into Chrysler. So they were going to be getting generation old kind of stuff.
I remember that, yes.
But they didn't weigh part of it. And as I point out in today's piece, one of the things I learned over there is that American, as an adjective, was synonymous with second rate. American technology was second rate technology. I mean, they wanted no part of it. And they tried to integrate it, and there were integration teams and all sorts of other things, but it was very half-hearted. And by the way, it's important to point out that the entire American leadership that was in place at the time of the merger, within a couple of years, almost all of them were gone. They were pushed out one after another, after another, after another. I think a lot of these guys just threw up their hands and said, you know, I don't need this. Either that or they eventually got sacrificed in one way or another. And that was really, I don't think there was any interest in cooperating and actually building this integrated company on the German side. And I think the Chrysler people over time got beaten down. And it's been a very cautionary tale. I mean, I looked at a lot of other tie-ups of that followed later and was very skeptical of them because of what I'd seen with Daimler Chrysler. A great example is Renault Nissan. I thought, oh, this is going to be a joke. And I remember talking to people at the time saying, it'll never work. The French and the Japanese, are you kidding? Well, the difference was, number one, the management in terms of Carlos Ghosn and his worldview. And I think the second one, as I've come to appreciate, is that the Japanese leadership in Nissan knew they didn't have any other options. If this wasn't going to happen, they were out of business. And then fast forward to Fiat Chrysler.
Yeah, and you say this is the sweetest revenge.
Yeah, I mean, their operating margins are getting better and better. And I think they were on par with or close to par with General Motors this past quarter. Sergio Marchionne says we're going to beat both of them. Our operational gearing is moving forward. He's a lot more, I think, open and trying to be inclusive. And he's got a management team that is very international, has a lot of Americans on it who play very pivotal roles. They're not just playing bit parts. I think it's entirely possible that his successor could be a former Chrysler person. We'll have to see. I think it's also entirely possible it could be a Fiat person. So it's just a different way of doing things. And I think the way that the culture, the German culture too, doesn't, I say in the column, one of the things to learn here is that those guys, at least, those German executives didn't play well with others. It was their way or the highway. And that was the culture in that company. And ultimately, you see where it led them.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thanks.
Thank you.